I think that's where I'm going to continue with the message this morning. It's going to be a short one and get right to the point. I wonder how many of us this morning are ready and willing to surrender every part of my life to the Lord. God wants every part of us, every part of our being. It says, you formed me with your holy hands before my birth. You planned your perfect purpose for me on this earth. I want to be all you created me to be. I trust that is everybody's heart and their desire this morning is to be everything that you can be in Jesus Christ. Verse 2, lately I have been learning more about your love. Finding for me every need is enough. Though I'm never more aware of my own unworthiness than when I come and bow before your holiness. It goes on to say, I have nothing that I can boast. If there's any good in me, it's all because of you, Lord. So I pledge my everything, the writer says. There is a cost. There is a great cost. And I'm hoping we're aware of that there is a cost to follow Jesus. There is a great cost to follow Christ. How many of you know the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus? How many of you know the story behind the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus? Read it sometime. Look it on your phone or your app, whatever you have, or your little tablet, and go on and search it out. No one ever wrote that song, by the way. Did you know that? There were the last words of a man's life. Many, many years ago, there was a revival that happened that swept through the country of Wales. And out of that revival, there were some men who felt the calling of the Lord to go to India as missionaries. And as they went, they end up in a place where there's a tribe of people. And in this tribe, they called them the headhunters. They literally took people's heads. And they hung them on trees just to, I don't know what their ego was. But that's the kind of tribe that these people walked into, and they ministered Jesus to them. And there was one in particular man and his wife who gave their life to Christ. And if I'm pronouncing the name right, the man's name was Singh. S-I-N-G something. S-I-N-G-H or S-I, I forget. But anyway, he got saved and got born again. His wife got saved. And the head of the tribe found this out. And they brought the tribe together. And they brought Singh and his family, we would say like a hearing. And the man of the tribe, the leader of the tribe, had asked Singh if he would be willing to denounce his faith. And Singh said, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And the tribe, or the leader of the tribe, brought his archers out. And he had the archers there. And how Singh's family, his wife and children were there. And so the leader, as he asked Singh if he would be willing to denounce his faith, and he said, I decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And the leader asked the archers to let go of the archers, the arrows, and they took the life of Singh's children. Now, I can just imagine the scene. My imaginary it gets pretty wide sometimes. And I'm thinking about this, and Singh with his children there, and here there's children that have the arrows in their bodies, and they're laying on the ground, and God forbid what all happened, what all was happening in that scene. And here they were, laying on the ground, and dying with these arrows stuck into their bodies. Then he asked Singh again. He said, are you willing to denounce your faith? He said, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. And again, the leader asked the archers to release the arrows, and they took the life of his wife. And there she laid with the children. Imagine the scene. probably laying there dying and not dead yet. And I don't even want to think about all the things that goes through my mind. I don't want to say the things that are going through my mind, what that scene may look like. And here there's a crowd of people watching. And now the only person that's left is sing. And the leader asks him one more time, are you willing to denounce your faith? He said, the world, oh, how's it go? The cross before me, the world behind me. He said, no turning back, no turning back. And they took the life of Singh, and there laid the family on the ground, dying for their faith. And the leader looks at this family, and this is the words that he said. He said, if the faith that this family had was worth dying for, it is the faith that I want. This is the God that I want to serve. If this God was worth dying for, it's the God that I want to serve. And it says that the whole village got saved because of this man's faith. There's a cross to carry for all of us. Now, it may not be the cross that Singh had to carry, but every one of us, to follow Jesus, it means everything. We must surrender our every being to Him. I'd like for us to go to Matthew 19. We know the account of the rich young ruler that come running to Jesus. The problem this young man had in his life was going to, well, this thing that had was that Jesus pointed out to him, the rich young ruler, was the very thing that was going to keep him from following Christ, to go all the way with Jesus. There was an obstacle. There was something that had him trapped. And Jesus knew the very thing that he needs to point out in this man's life and speak prophetically in this young man and say, look, this is what you need to do. First of all, he said, hey, behold, there's a young man that come running to Jesus and said, good master, what good things should I do that I may have eternal life? Verse 16 in Matthew 19. Verse 16, verse 17, and he said unto me, why callest thou me good? Jesus coming down to this man's level, and he said, why call you me good? Is there not, there's only one, there's none good but one, and that is God. And he said unto him, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. And he went down the list of the 10 commandments, and this young man said, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And he says, Jesus, what else is in my life that I lack? Really, what is it? What would keep me from following you? And Jesus said, in the one place, I think one of the Gospels say that he stooped down, and he simply got up probably on his knees, and he looked up to him and said, listen, young man, there is something that has you snared. There is something that you must let go of. And this thing for this, what was for this young man was money, was something. He was a rich young man. Now, is money wrong? Absolutely not. Is it wrong to be rich? Is it wrong to be a millionaire? Absolutely not. But for this young man, that's where his identity was. His identity was in his riches. You know, for us, it may not be money. If our identity is in my calling, if my identity is in my music, woe unto me. Because it's going to hinder me from following Jesus. My identity must completely be in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And he goes on to say, Jesus said unto them, if thou wilt be perfect. Listen, young man, if you want to be perfect and you really want to have God's purpose unfold in your life, you really want to see the blessing of God, you really want to have the favor of God upon your life, this is what you must do. Go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. It doesn't make sense at all. Why would Jesus tell me to do that? Why would Jesus tell me to sell out? And somehow I'm going to have treasures in heaven. And he goes on to say, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, the scholars say, there's a lot of scholars that did some studying on this, Some scholars, I have not found anywhere where you read it in the scripture, but some scholars think this young man was Barnabas, who we read about in the book of Acts, who later on, Barnabas came and he gave everything he had and he followed Christ. And in fact, he had teamed up with Paul for a season. I don't know if it's the same man or not, but some scholars think this may have been the same man. Whether it was or not doesn't matter. But today, what's the Lord asking of you? You know, there's sometimes we like to just take things in our own hands. And we have a hard time letting go because when we let go, we really don't have power of it anymore. You know, it may be a dad. Maybe it's us fathers. You know, we raise our children. We raise them up for the glory of God. But sometimes it's hard for us to let go of the arrow, is it not? Letting go, following completely the Lord Jesus. And all of that, I'm not too sure why that came to my mind, but it may be other things. There's a cost. It is a high cost to live for Jesus. And Matthew 17. You can turn there if you want to. Matthew 16. Jesus said there in verse 24, "Then say Jesus unto his disciples, if a man will come after me, what is he to do? Let him what? Deny himself." What does it mean to deny yourself? Then he goes on to say, "And take up your cross and follow me." I call it the three ingredients to Christian living. Denying myself. What does it mean to deny myself? What does it mean to deny my being? What does it mean to carry my cross? He goes on to say in verse 25, "For whosoever will save his life shall what? Lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Do you know, my prayer is this morning that the Holy Spirit will bring a fresh revelation to all of us of what this passage means and what the Lord is meaning, what it means to us and what the Lord wants of us and what he's trying to tell us this morning. I do know that when I try to take things and when I try to do things my way, I find myself so many times that I really lose what I have gained. Let's just use an example of if you were sitting here this morning and you have unforgiveness. Oh, you say, "I have forgiven." Have you? Forgiveness is not just saying, "I forgive you." Forgiveness is, "I choose to release that person. I choose to commit that person completely in the Lord's hands. Because if I don't, I carry that person with me wherever I go. And that person, time and time again, ends up in my conversation. And it's an indication that I have not released that person." Jesus said, "Except I deny myself." I believe that's part of dying to myself. I must release things. I must release situations. I must release things. And the list goes on. Denying myself. You know, if we would learn to deny ourselves, we have less arguments, by the way. Did you know that? I probably wouldn't argue as much as I do sometimes. Woe unto me. My father is a prime example of what it means to deny himself. He's taught me by his actions, "You won't argue with my dad. You won't argue with him." He's taught me a lot. Now the next one is to take up your cross. What does it mean to take up the cross? Well, a few things that come to my mind is taking up a cross means this. Matthew 5, it talks about not only turning your cheek, but when somebody takes something from you, offer what? Not only your coat, but your cloak. Offer, give. When something's taken from you, no, we're living in a day where we're self-defense. We're living in a time where we believe in self-defense. Now, I know some of you are thinking, okay, what would you do? I don't know what I'd do. But it doesn't change the Word of God. And that's what I hope and trust that I can walk out. He who takes something from you, offer also something else. If he grabs your coat, offer your cloak. Romans, it talks about heaping a coals of fire upon somebody's head. Offering a drink of water to the one who mistreats you. That's part of the cross. Think about Jesus when he hung on the cross. On the way to the cross. Then he hangs on the cross. And there's railing and there's mocking going on while he's hanging there. And he says, Father, forgive them. He's saying, don't hold this account. Don't hold them accountable to this. Please don't. Because I'm dying for them. I am taking their penalty. I'm dying for their sin. Don't hold it against them, oh Father. Forgive them. For they don't even know what they're doing. They don't understand the purpose of what I'm going through. They don't understand the purpose of this cross. So please, oh Father, don't hold it against them. That's carrying the cross. He's saying, what he was saying, those who railed against me, those who drove the spikes into my hands, those who plucked the beard out of my face, those who put those thorns, and even those who are against me, are railing against me, he said, oh, Father, don't hold it against them because, according to Isaiah 53, their debt is why I'm dying. If we could only grasp that, if we could only capture that, of what it means to carry the cross. There's so many things we can think about and talk about, what it means to carry the cross. Doing it God's way. Even when those around you, I remember many years ago, a stand that I had to take on something as a young boy. I was playing on a softball team, and there's nothing wrong with playing softball, not at all. But for me, I had to, in the middle of the summer, I had to pull out. I had to. And I knew what I was going to face. I knew there was many who were not going to understand. And to get by that and past that was very difficult without getting bitter and angry, resentful. Even when others didn't understand. Heeding to the Word of God and to the will of God in your life is part of carrying the cross, sin. It is. If you're in an environment in your realm of influence, and there's people who think different than you and on your job site, on your jobs or wherever it may be, doing it God's way is part of carrying the cross. You may be the only Bible that they're reading at your workplace. But it'd be better just to, you know, it'd be easier just to give in to some things that they do, and because you want to stay connected with friends and such like. But carrying the cross is heeding to the will of God and to the Word of God. That's part of the cross that we're to carry. and then to follow Jesus, to follow him. That's hard. There is not, it's not easy to follow Jesus. It is not easy to follow Christ. But I will say this, some things I wrote down this morning, you can write it down. Those that fully surrender will experience the fullness of God. They see God, they know God, and they know his voice. The favor of God rests upon the man and woman who fully surrender their life to Jesus Christ. They'll experience the blessing of God exceedingly abundantly. He does exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think through the power that works within you. They flourish. They prosper. Psalmist 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor seats in the seat of the scornful. They don't sit with mockers. They don't sit with people who make fun of people. Young people, I'll encourage you that when you're around a people, a group of people, and you hear them make fun of people, you'll be tested at that moment. You're either going to be part of them or you're going to walk away from them. And he goes on to say, but their delight, they delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law do they meditate day and night. Why? They want the word of God. They want to follow him. They want to live for him. And it goes on to say that, and they will be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of waters. It will bring forth fruit in its season. See, spiritually speaking, it's a little different than the natural. Apples, tree will give apples in their season. Grapes will produce grapes in its season. Oranges, bananas, the list goes on. But for you and I, God determines the season. There's times that you and I need to be fruitful in season that we may not be ready for. What for fruit is he talking about? Love, you're loving, you're joyful, you're peaceful, you're meek, you're gentle, you're kind. The fruit of the Spirit. It says, they will be like a tree that is planted by the river of waters, and it shall bring forth its fruit in that season. Its leaf will also not wither, but whatsoever they do, they prosper. So is what you're doing, are you prospering in what you're doing? Are you prospering? Are you flourishing? He that believeth on me, Jesus said, as the scripture saith, out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water. There is a living water that gushes out of a man and woman that are sold out to Jesus Christ. There is living waters. Also, the tongue is fully committed to the Lord too. This little thing right here is the most deadliest poison, it says in James. And no man can tame it. But I'm grateful to tell you this morning, the Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit can. See, when we fully surrender to Jesus Christ, there it says in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. He says your whole body, not just your hands and your feet or your eyes or your ears, but your tongue as well. Our tongue can do more damage than anything of our body can do. Poison. Our tongue can poison people. And I believe there have been so many situations have been poisoned because of tongues that just blabbered. But you know, the tongue can also do such a great thing. Yes, and that's what the Lord wants to do with his tongue. A man and woman who's fully surrendered to Jesus Christ will be filled with the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God lives and dwells within that vessel. And as these vessels are completely surrendered to him, the Holy Spirit takes over. it does to extraordinary. Yeah, through us. We forgive when we don't want to. We release when we feel like we owe them something. Or we, instead of holding on and, you know what happens when you hold on to somebody in your heart? You eventually begin to do and say things that you never meant to say. See, the demonic realm is powerful too as the spiritual in Christ. The kingdom of God is greater than the demonic world. But when we choose to live for our flesh and choose not to crucify it and to take up our cross, we're influenced by the demonic world realm, and it does eventually lead us, and it guides us, just like the Holy Spirit wants to do it. So, again, how many of us want to flourish? How many of us want to prosper? We all do. I don't need a raise of hands. Every one of us here, from the youngest to the oldest, was created to flourish and to prosper. Every one of us was created to have the kingdom of God living and dwelling within us, and us living to the fullness of God. Every one of us was designed and created for it. But the decision is up to us. I wonder how many here this morning. Man, I don't know how to close here now. When that song was being sung that says, I fully surrender my hopes, my dreams. You know, there's another thing I need to talk about this morning. It's on my heart. We're hearing this saying, follow your dreams. Just follow your dreams. Brothers and sisters, I don't see that in the Word of God. Jesus did not in any way, shape, or form say, follow your dreams. He said, follow me. You follow your dreams will die and they will dim and they'll die. And then you got to find another dream. Following your dreams. You hear it everywhere. No. Follow Jesus. It's going to be costly. Now, I understand we use that term. I get why we use it. But I wonder how often we miss. I wonder how often we miss. And we find ourselves in places of disappointments, discouragement, weighed down. Because we just chose to follow our own dreams. When God is saying, listen, your plan ends with a period. My plan for you ends with a question mark. So really saying, are you willing to follow me? Are you willing to give me your everything? My hopes, my plans, my dreams, I give to you. And watch what he will do. He will do great and mighty things which thou dost not know. As I reflect back the past 20 years, the things that God allowed me to walk through and that I heeded and said yes to walk through. And I reflect back and I say, thank you, Lord. I am so glad that I did. I am so glad that even when I did not understand, even when it didn't quite feel right, you know, our feelings are not always right either. Did you know that? Our own feelings can deceive us. Jesus did not say, follow your feelings. Jesus didn't say, follow me, you're always going to feel good. He didn't say, it's always going to feel right. It won't. Did it feel right at the Garden of Gethsemane for Jesus? No, it didn't feel right. Did it feel good? Absolutely not. It didn't feel good. But he said, not my will, but your will be done. And he heeded to the call of his Father. And the end result was a resurrection. The only way that he could make it back to his throne where he belonged was to go through that process of dying. And then let God raise him up. And so it was. And so it will be for you and I. In the things when we heed to God and his will and his way. And when we surrender all, even if it means that we must die daily. Even if the things die, the things that we have placed our hands on. And they begin to seem to fade out and die. And we want to hang on to them. Jesus didn't hang on to his life. He lost it, but he found it. And so will you. And that is a promise. You know, I'm going to use one illustration before we close here. Relationships sometimes are distorted and we don't understand it. But when you give it to the Lord and you watch him do the way he does things, I reflect back in relationships in my family that I didn't understand, that I had to let go of. And as I reflect back now the past 20 years, I marvel at God because he does his things right. When it's God's way, it's always right. My way is most times wrong. In fact, it always is. My way is always wrong. It never turns out well at the end, but God's way always does. And it takes a full surrender. It's part of the dying process. Amen. Can we stand together? And maybe there's some of you here this morning going through difficulties. And I don't know. Maybe there's something that the Lord's been just pressing on your heart that you need to release. You need to let go of. And you need to let, and God is asking you, would you just let go of it and let me be God in your situation? Maybe you're carrying a cross that is very difficult and hard. Would you trust him? Will you trust him? And let him do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Mel, I'd like for you to come. I want you to close it as you see fit. And maybe you're here standing here this morning. You say, that's me. God has just been speaking to my heart. And this morning I choose to let go. I choose to commit it to the Lord. I choose to carry my cross. I choose to surrender my hopes, my plans, and my dreams. I choose to surrender my everything to him. If that is you here this morning and you choose to do that, you raise your hand where you're at by committing that to the Lord and saying, yes, Lord, I choose to surrender. I choose to commit it to you. Right now, Lord, I choose to commit it to you. I ask for forgiveness that I've held on to things that I shouldn't have. Please forgive me. I choose to give my hopes, my plans, and my dreams to you. And they may be good things, but as you do that, surrender it to the Lord. You will reflect back someday and you say, that was God. That was God. That was him. And that's right what he wants of you and I. That as we reflect back, we're not saying, oh, I wish I'd have done it different. I wish I'd have listened. I wish I'd have... But he wants us to look back and say, that was him. That was God. That was Jesus.